It is so good to have you all back. Joel and Kristen, now Kristen is not able to be with us, and I'll let Joel explain that and or let him mention Kristen. But I've known Kristen longer than I have Joel because Kristen and I went to Master's Commission together. And they still actually call me friends, and I'm very surprised by that. But Joel and I don't know how long we've known each other, but it's been a long time. Long time, as you can tell from all the gray hair I have, and he doesn't look like he's over 12 years old. So, but we are so glad to have one of our home missionaries. I claim him as ours because we support him. If you look over here on the wall, on the other side of this wall right here, we've got a picture of him and his family up there because we support them on a regular basis, and we believe in what they're doing. They have been in France now for how long? 6 years. Imagine being in a foreign country for 6 years, and then all of a sudden God says, I want to do something new. And that's what Joel's here to tell us about today. Can you please give Joel Temple a huge round of applause today? Come on up, guys. And I didn't even mention your boy here, Jeremiah. I'm sorry about that, but he's going to say hey for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Jeremiah, j'ai 12 ans. Hello, my name's Jeremiah, and I'm 12 years old.
Good job, buddy. Awesome, man. I'm proud of you. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Aaron, for your... you guys have some wonderful pastors here. Can you give God praise? Man, I don't even know if I want to preach, you know, after Amy got up here. It's hard to follow, you know. She's already preaching half my message. And so but that's God. He's good. And as Pastor Aaron mentioned, we are some of your missionaries, and we have been for many years. Brother Steve, I was talking to you earlier out in the foyer, and I think you've been here longer than probably anybody, sounds like. And so you remembered me, and I didn't remember you, and I'm sorry for that. But the older I get, I'm not as old as Aaron, and I probably never will be. So that's good, Pastor Aaron. But it's just a pleasure to come and just be around people that love you and care about you. And we're thankful for your prayers and support over the years. You've been with us for many years now. We started our missionary journey in Africa in 2001, my wife Kristen and I, and we stayed on there until about 2012, until the Lord started dealing with us about moving to France. And at the time, I was struggling with it. I was saying, Lord, what are you doing here? We thought we were going to be those missionaries who live and die and are buried in Africa, and that wasn't the case because He has a better plan. And that scripture comes to mind. You even quoted it this morning. God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen? And so when we started transitioning out of Africa into France, we knew that we still had a heart for the French-speaking world because we had been in a French-speaking country in Cameroon, which is in Central Africa. And so we said, okay, Lord, You said go, and we will go. And we went to France, and we thought, man, we're going to be there for a while. We're going to just dig in, put some roots down. And we were there for a little over a term, and then the Lord started speaking to us about a shift coming. And at the time, I said, I don't know what that means, Kristen. I don't know what this means, but God is speaking to me about a shift. And she said she felt the same thing. Long story short, it wasn't long after that we prayed and we said, Lord, if You want us to consider something else, we want to be where You want us to be. We want to be where You want us to be. Not our own will be done, but Your will be done. And so we said, Lord, here it is. You're the one who's doing this. Now put us where You want us. If You want us to consider something different, if You've got something else in mind, have someone contact us. The very next day, someone contacted us and told us about a mission field in French Guiana and the French Antilles, overseas regions of France, that we've never had a missionary there before. And so God is saying, Joel, you're hearing right. Kristen, you're hearing right. Now, are you willing to say yes? And let me tell you something. We're nobody special. We are the least of these. We don't feel worthy. I hope you understand that we are just walking in obedience. We're not heroes. We're just walking in obedience to what God has placed upon our heart to do. And that's all we ask of you as the church. And you have done that for many years, supporting us, praying for us, and just being faithful to the calling right here. And that's so important, just being faithful and being consistent. So I want to commend you folks this morning to say thank you for being faithful to the calling of God on your life. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit with Jeremiah this morning, the prophet Jeremiah this morning. But I just want to say, we don't know exactly where we're going. I wanted to put some pictures on that video. We wanted to show you what you've been supporting over the last 6 or 7 years there in France. And we saw God do some incredible things. God started doing works in places like the Lebanese congregation there you may have seen, and the French African congregation you saw. We were in the Paris area ministering to people from literally all corners of the earth. More than 60 different nationalities were there at any given time during our church services. And we saw God set people free. We saw people healed. We saw people delivered. We saw people filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we need that in France. And we need that wherever we go. And so our heart is to continue to ministering. And we wanted to continue that in France. But God said, no, I've got something different for you. So I wanted to also remind you of what we are going to be doing and what you can be praying for us. This is a brand new mission field that God has called us to. And this is a brand new place for the Assemblies of God. We've never been there, had a presence in this area. And so they asked us, and I hope they, you know what they're doing and asking us, but I think God arranged this anyways, right? But they asked us to lead this new initiative to develop a team of missionaries to go to these French-speaking countries in Latin America. There's two sides of this initiative. There's the Dutch-speaking countries and the French-speaking countries. When you think of Latin America, what do you think of? You think of Spanish, and everybody goes to Costa Rica to learn the Spanish, and then they go to the Latin American countries, or maybe they go to Brazil and speak Portuguese. But the French-speaking countries and the Dutch-speaking countries, they've never really known what to do. And so God is saying, no, it's time for the Spirit to start moving across these lands like never before, because there's more than 40 million people across these lands, and many of those places have no representation of a church or missionary reaching these people. We've got, in French Guiana alone, we've got the Saramaccan people who are indigenous. They are not indigenous. They were slaves brought over from Africa many years ago, and after they escaped slavery, they went out into the jungles, and they have been out into the jungles for many years, and nobody has reached them with the gospel at this point. And so we're praying that God open those doors for people to hear the gospel message and repent of their sins and turn to you and trust you as Savior. Amen? Amen. There's the indigenous tribes there, the Indian tribes there, all across those lands that are in the villages, out in the jungles. They don't have a church. They don't have a representation of the gospel. They've never heard the gospel, many of them. They're in their life doing their own things and just living as they always have for hundreds of years or thousands of years, and they need the gospel. And then you've got the Europeans. You've got secular Europeans there because it's technically France. And so even though it's in Latin America, you've got these islands and you've got the South American continent. They have Europeans there living there. And these are the same type of people that we've been ministering to in France over the last 6 or 7 years, people who have totally just dismissed God, said, yeah, I know about all that religion. Yeah, I'm Catholic by birth, but I don't really care. God doesn't exist anymore, and we don't need him anymore. We've moved on. We've been enlightened. And we've got a group of those people living right there in French Guiana, Martinique, Guadeloupe, in those areas in the Antilles, who just need Jesus. They need Jesus to just invade their hearts, set them free from their hurt and their pain. They need to call upon him. And the Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. But how can they call upon one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear unless they are sent to proclaim it? Amen? And so pray, and I put that specifically up there earlier, pray for the people of French Guiana and the French Antilles. This is a vast area. And to be honest with you, we don't know exactly where we're going to base at this point to develop this new work. So pray that God will give us clarity and give us a clear vision as to what he is wanting to do, that we won't muddy it up with our own ideas, that we say, God, this is what you are wanting to do, and we're excited to be a part of what you are doing. Amen? So pray for that clarity. Pray for our family, our kids. We've got Liliana, who's 10 years old. Jeremiah is 12 years old here. And we've got Isabella. Man, they're awesome. I wish they were here this morning. That's another story for another time. But they are just as much a part of this calling as we are, as Kristen and myself. And it's hard. It's a hard transition for them. He grew up in Africa and France, and now my other two has grown up in France. And they were like, we're ready to go back to France, to mainland France, to home. And we're saying we're not going there anymore because God has called us on to do something different. Obedience is never, you can't always say that obedience is easy. It's usually a sacrifice involved in obedience. But I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I take the theme of that song and I really want to apply that to my life and the Lord's prayer to my life, not my will but yours be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we begin this new ministry to this new area of the world, we just want to say thank you for your continued support. Thank you, Pastor Aaron and Amy, for just keeping on the work here as well. And thank you for all your faithfulness who have prayed with us that God would bring a harvest in this world for many years. And isn't it cool to see how God is working out the things? We've got just a mix of cultures from our experience in Africa and Europe. And right there in this forgotten corner of the world, you've got those two or three or four different cultures just converging on this one area. And God said, you know what? These places may be forgotten, but I haven't forgotten. These are the ends of the earth, amen? And they will bow before the name of Jesus. They will bow before the Lord, amen? So can we just quickly pray and ask the Lord as we go into this the remainder of this service that he will have his way and that he will also open up doors in those places of the French overseas territories, in French Guiana, the Antilles. Lord, we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you this day. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, this morning as we enter into this next phase of this service, Lord, we want to remember, Lord, these places, these often forgotten places this morning, like French Guiana and the French Antilles, Lord. We pray that you would just raise up workers, Lord. Raise up your church, Lord. Let a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blow across these lands and bring about a great awakening and a revival in those places, Lord, like they've never known before. God, we pray for a fresh anointing upon myself and my family, Lord, as we take on this new task. And God, not our wills, but yours be done, God. We pray that you'd help us to raise up the team that you want there, Lord. Help us to have clarity of vision, Lord. And help us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with the anointing of God upon our life to see the yokes broken in the name of Jesus. Those yokes of witchcraft, of idolatry, of every sort, God, be broken in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord, and we call upon you, Lord, that your work will be done in these areas. And we thank you, God, for making us aware of the need. And we thank you, God, for sending us. And we thank you, God, for raising up others, Lord. We pray that as we connect with the churches there and other believers there, God, that your work will only get stronger and grow exponentially, Lord, in these areas, and that we will reach the Saramaccan people, that we will reach the indigenous tribes of these areas, and also the secular Europeans, God, that their hearts would be broken, Lord, that you would open their ears and you would open their eyes, Lord, to see that you are God, that you are not dead, but you are alive. Lord, we ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we also lift up those who are hurting and suffering right now in Afghanistan and Haiti, Lord. We just pray for those brothers and sisters, Lord. We ask you, God, to surround them with your love right now in Jesus' name. Surround them with your peace, Lord, right now. And may your church rise to the occasion, Lord, we pray, to minister and to help and to proclaim your truth, Lord, to these people, Lord, who are desperately needing a touch from you and who are desperately needing intervention. Right now, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to send your heavenly hosts around these folks. Send your heavenly hosts around them and protect them from the terrorism. Protect them, Lord, from diseases of every sort. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory for that. We know that you're with us, and we know that you're working out all things for our good because you love us and we love you, and we are called according to your purpose, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let me see. I heard you have a long-winded preacher here. Is that the truth? Well, speak the truth, sister. Speak the truth, brother. I'll try to do better. That's if I can just do one thing today, I'll try to do better. But I don't know. He might win. My wife is always getting on to me, and this is why I've got my clock up here today. And you know, look, I really want. Sometimes I wonder why I'm like, Lord, why did you choose me? Because I don't really feel like I'm that great of a speaker. But what I really love for the Lord to do is to show up and minister. Amen. And so we're going to read a little bit of his word this morning, and I've got a few things that I want to take you through this morning. But I just pray that you would be open this morning to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if you don't want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I'll be the one at these altars this morning allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants of me. Amen? Because we all need a touch from God. Do you want a touch from the Lord this morning? Do you need a touch from him? Just raise your hand and give him praise this morning. Jesus, we love you and we want you, Lord, here. We welcome you here. Touch us, Lord. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our ears to hear your word. And help us, God, to hear exactly what you're saying to each and every single one of us today. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to read a long passage here. And it's in Jeremiah. And it talks about the call of Jeremiah. But let's just go ahead and read this real quick. It says, the word of the Lord, this is Jeremiah. We're going to start with chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to preach. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone. You must go to everyone I send you to and say, proclaim whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. And I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth and said to me, wow, do we not need a touch from the Lord in this day and age? Amen. We need the Lord to touch our mouths, just like he did the prophet Jeremiah. Now I have put my words in your mouth. Boy, do we need the words of the Lord. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. And then the Lord said, you have seen correctly. I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Then the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot, tilting away from the north, I answered. And the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be pronounced out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon the prophets of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her, all her surrounding walls, and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Verse 17, get yourself ready. Get up. Get yourself ready, Jeremiah. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, the people of the land. They will fight against you, but you will not overcome you. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Wow. What a lot to unpack in that passage right there. And I'm not going to unpack it all today. That's your pastor's job. Amen? So I'm setting him up for something. One of these days, he's going to get back on it, and he's going to unpack it. I've got about one shot every 6 or 7 years probably to come and share with what God is doing and putting on my heart to say to you. And this is something I've been praying for you. Like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And this is what he wanted me to say to you today, to share about the calling of God on your life, to share about the calling of God on all of our lives. And so when you look at the calling of Jeremiah, you think, man, what a powerful passage right here. God said in verse 5, God's speaking some incredible things. The whole passage through 19, God's speaking some incredible things to Jeremiah. And you got to understand, Jeremiah was what we would call a PK. But he was really a priest's kid, right? Today we call them preacher's kids. You know what that is, right, DJ? Being a preacher's kid? Jeremiah knows that too. You see, I wasn't a preacher's kid, but I could have been because my parents helped me to grow up in church, and I knew the things of the Lord. And that's what Jeremiah, he knew the things of God. He knew the ways of the Lord. He knew the ceremonies. He knew the religious ins and outs of the duties that the priests would do. But there was something deeper in Jeremiah. He knew the voice of the Lord. I don't know how long it took for him to get to that point, for him to know the voice of the Lord, but the reality is he knew the voice of the Lord. You see, we've got a lot of folks today in the church today. We know all about the church. We know all about the religion of it. We know all about coming and going. We know all the ins and outs, but we don't know the voice of the Lord. We need the voice of the Lord in our lives this morning for God to speak to us and to put us exactly where he wants us. And this is what was happening with Jeremiah. He came to me and he said, Jeremiah, I want to remind you something today. I know who you are. Before you were even born, I knew who you were. I called you. I sanctified you. I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And not only that, I have supplied you with everything that you need for that purpose. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. You're going to have religious people coming against you. You're going to have the religious society coming against you and telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you're against God's will, you're against this, you're against that. But you say to them the truth. They have rejected me. They have burned incense to idols other than me. And it is time for you to preach the message of repent or perish. And so this is what Jeremiah was coming. And so here, we're going to get to that point here in just a minute. But it wasn't just about that message of judgment and repentance. It was judgment and repentance and restorative redemption through what was to come. And ultimately, it could have come for them, but ultimately, if we're looking at our situation today, I don't see how God could not be bringing his judgment upon us. with the things that we have turned away from God on, we are going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer for the things that we're doing, not only as a nation, but even as a church. We've become complacent. We've allowed sin to creep into our lives. We've allowed the world to influence us more than we allow the Word of God to influence us. And so God was setting this up. And for over a period of 40 years, he used Jeremiah to speak to the nation. And Jeremiah was going to predict the fall of Jerusalem, and it was going to be destroyed and handed over to the Babylonians, and it was not going to be a good time. They were going to go into years and years of captivity. But God was saying, look, this is what's going to happen. So I just want to remind you today that God doesn't do anything out of order. And you can see that in some of my testimony. But I think he's reminded me today to tell you, or he's brought me here today to Annis and to remind you that no matter where you see yourself at in your life, he has a plan for you. No matter how much you've messed up, no matter how far away you feel like you are from the Lord, or maybe you're 5 years old or 50 years old, God's got a call on your life. He's got a call on your life. And so as we look at Jeremiah and we kind of parallel it today, we can look and see how God is still moving. He's still calling. He's still raising up Jeremiahs. And you say, hey, look, I'm not a Jeremiah. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a preacher. I'm lucky to be in this church right now and the roof isn't falling in, right? You think, man, how could God ever use me? How could God ever call me? But listen, it's not about how talented you are or how gifted you are. It's him. You see, he knows all about you. He knows your strengths. He knows your talents, your abilities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the struggles you face, the things you consider your limitations. How many of you feel like you got some limitations? Yeah? You see, you know what? He still wants to use you in spite of all that. And I have a quote that I say very often. I say, you can choose to be used of God, or you can choose not to be used of God. Does that make sense? You can choose to be used of God, or you can choose not to be used of God. He is not going to force you to do what he wants you to do. He has given us this thing called free will. He can strongly encourage us and exhort us, but he will never force us. That's not his nature. He doesn't work like that. So he gives us that choice to say, yes, Lord, yes. And that's what Jeremiah did. He said yes. And you see, some of you here might be saying, well, you know what? I don't feel God speaking to me. And that's probably, that could be very well true, right? You ever been in those places where God's just not speaking? Well, here's what I would say. The Bible says in Isaiah verse 55, 3 and 6, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Incline, that word is in the Hebrew word, it means to bend away from something. And so here's what the problem is today, I think, in the church, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about in the church today. God was in this time talking to the people of God. And now he's talking to the people of God still today, and he's saying, incline your ear to me. Bend your ear away from the things of the world and bend it back towards me, and your soul shall live. You see, we've got a sick world today that we're living in. I can't even get into it, but we've got the media, the mainstream media, we've got social media, we've got everything else. We've got our relationships. We've got all these things that we're feeding constantly into, and we wonder why our souls are dying. We wonder why we're struggling with depression. We're wondering why we're struggling with sin. We're wondering why we're struggling with these different things and why God isn't hearing us and why God isn't answering our prayers. It's because we're not listening to him. He's saying, take your ear, humble yourself, bend it towards me, and I'm going to tell you what, your soul will live. Amen? Somebody got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's one other here today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. You might feel like God is a million miles away from you, but he is near to the brokenhearted. That's what Psalm says. He is near. He is near. He is near. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. He is here. You know what? Sometimes it's just a matter of humbling ourselves, putting ourselves in a position to where we can hear from God. I think that pride gets in the way of so much that God wants to do in our lives. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to control the situation. I like to make it happen. And God knows that that's my nature, but I have to die to that nature and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't figure this out on my own. I had to do that when I was 20 years old. I grew up in church. I knew all about it, but I got away from the Lord at 13 years old and ended up getting into drugs and alcohol. And I stepped foot into a church as a promise to my dad on his birthday. I said, Dad, because they'd been praying for me for years. Boy, you need to get your life right. They'd tell me and preach at me, you need to get your life in order with the Lord. And I'd say, I'm all right. But I was messed up. And I finally came to the Lord. I went to the church that day, and the Lord spoke through tongues and interpretation and said, there's somebody in this church. You've been far away from the Lord, but he wants you to come back. He wants you to give your life to him because he wants to use you in this church, and not only in this church, but in many other places of the world. Amen? And you would think that 20-year-old young man who was messed up would say, oh, man, I knew it was for me. This was a moment God showed up, just kind of like Jeremiah did. And what, like he did with Jeremiah when he touched his head. What did I do? I crossed my arms and I turned my back and I said, I'm getting out of this place as fast as I can because I don't want anything to do with these Jesus freak people. Leave me alone. I want to do it on my own. I can figure this out on my own. But you know what? I thank God for his church. I thank God for the faithful church. The saints who continue to pray, who continue to love on the brokenhearted, who continue to love on those who are lost, who are hurting, who are in pain. That church continued to love on me. And they just said, hey man, won't you come back to it was actually God just working. I was living in some apartments down the road, and the only reason why I went to this, it was an Assemblies of God church. The only reason why I went to this church was because I could walk to it. That's why I believe in the local church and the power and the importance of having a local church that anybody can reach. I had to walk to it because I had a DUI. I lost my driver's license. I was in a mess, but I wanted to fix it all on my own. And finally, God brought someone from that church and he said, hey, man, I saw you there at church the other day. Why don't you come back? I was like, I was at first lying to him, like, dude, you ain't seen me in no church. Like, leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with you. But ultimately, I relented. I humbled myself. And I went and started going to that church. And that church just loved on me and loved me straight to Jesus. And I ended up giving my life to Jesus there, called into the ministry there, raised in a master's commission program there. And the rest is history. I've been serving the Lord ever since. I'm not perfect, but I've been serving him ever since, saying, yes, Lord. We've got to get to a place where we're willing to humble ourselves. Sometimes that's easier when you find yourself in a mess like that. But when you're maybe you've been in church for 50 years, you still need to humble yourself. Put yourself in a position to where you can hear from God. Turn off the media, turn off the TV, turn off the radio even. Get yourself in a closet and just be quiet and ask the Lord to search your heart. See what happens. I can guarantee you God will begin to speak to you, and you will be surprised at the things that he pulls out of your heart if you let him. Amen. I think that's what was happening with Jeremiah. I need to move on. God has a great purpose for your life, and he wants to reveal it to you. I believe that with all my heart. It starts with putting yourself in a position that you can hear from the Lord. And today, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. This is a perfect time for you to surrender to him. Your first and greatest calling is to surrender your life to Him. If you've never done that before, God wants you to surrender your life to Him. He wants you to live for Him with everything within you, not just a little bit. Not just say, I'm going to give you this part, Lord, but I'm going to hold on to the rest. No, He says, I want it all because I paid for it all. Amen? But He doesn't want you to just, yeah, He doesn't want you to just go to heaven on the by the skin of your teeth. I don't know if you'd like that phrase like I do. You're just barely scraping by. Like, I love Jesus, but I've just got all these problems in my life, and I just can't get over them, you know. And you can, because God did. He's paid for it, and you can live in that. I'm not saying it's not easy. I'm not saying it's not difficult. It's often not very easy, because you've got to die to yourself. But He doesn't want you to just scrape by and just make it to heaven one day. He wants you to live an abundant life. And He wants, you know what? He wants you to take as many with you as possible to heaven. That's our goal, is to take as many with us as possible, because that's the joy of knowing Jesus. That's the joy of knowing the heart of the Father, is that He gave everything. He gave His only Son so that we could be saved. Amen? So this brings me to another part of, you know, Jeremiah. What was the first thing after the Lord started speaking to him? Did you notice that in the scripture? What was the first thing Jeremiah did? Jeremiah, I love you. I got a plan for your life. I know you, and I'm going to be with you. What was the first thing he did? He started making excuses. Man, we are the best at making excuses, right? And so most people believe that Jeremiah was probably, he was a young guy. I don't know how old he was. Some people say 17. I don't know. He was young. He was younger than Pastor Aaron, that's for sure. So, but I'll be honest with you. He had some pretty good points, right? He's like, I think he also kind of really understood what was about to happen. He's like, Lord, you're depositing these things into my life, and I hear what you're saying. And you're telling me, you're setting me up to preach repentance to a nation that you're about to judge because of their sin. That is not going to set me up for a popular message. And so he's like, you know, he's kind of squirming a bit, because we all want to be liked. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to be persecuted for anything. And we say that we're willing to be persecuted for the cause of Christ, but often we're not. My brothers and sisters in Afghanistan right now are putting me just to my knees and saying, Lord, just please help them as they're being persecuted. We don't know what persecution is. What's going to happen when they have to say that they are a Christian? They're going to lose their life. So we don't know what persecution is. But Jeremiah, I think he knew what he was about to be persecuted. And so he started making excuses. Lord, I'm too young. You know, I'm just not a great speaker. And we can go on and on. Oh, Lord, people aren't going to respect me. I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. But God says, you are not, but I am. Amen? Did you hear that? I think that's a word from the Lord. He says, you are not, but I am. I am the one who is calling you. I am the one who has anointed you. I am the one who has appointed you. I am the one who makes you right and righteous for the task that I have asked you to do. It's not in your own strengths. It's not in your own talents. It's not in your own ability. So stop thinking too highly of yourself before you fall down again. I am the one who is leading you. Amen? I am that I am. Said it to him. He's always been. He's the first, he's the last, he's the beginning and the end. You can take it to the bank. He will be there for you. You just have to hear from him, put your trust in him, and allow him to do his work. Amen? And so, praise the Lord. I think the Lord is speaking to me at least this morning. Amen? You know, yeah, that's God's response. He responds to us exactly how he responded to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, all those years ago. And this is kind of the way I paraphrase it. He says, you know, listen, I know it might not make sense to you. And it doesn't feel right. You know, like, I don't feel like getting persecuted. I don't feel the pressure. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those feely persons. I know that we're all created differently, but man, I like to feel the power of God. I like to feel the presence of God. I like to know that God's working. But I'm telling you, when the Lord starts speaking to you, do some difficult tasks like that, you're probably not feeling it. And, you know, God's saying, Jeremiah, I know you probably don't feel this. I know that you don't feel like you want to do this, or you feel like you're good enough. But you know what? You don't have to be worried. I love you. I love you. I've got a plan for your life, and I'm the one who is sending you to do these things. But he also tests us, I think. You remember that those two questions he asked? He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see the branch of an almond tree. I'm like, you know, for years I'm thinking, what does that have to do with anything? The branch of an almond tree. But, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can look at it. But the almond tree was like the first thing the branch of an almond tree was about like the first thing to bring forth new life in those seasons. And God was saying, look, I'm about to get ready to bring forth new life. So I want to see that you're seeing what I'm seeing. Are you seeing the same things that I'm seeing, Jeremiah? And the Lord confirmed you saw correctly. And that just tells me that Jeremiah was in tune with what the Lord was wanting to do in his life. You see, and I've already said this earlier, but a lot of times we're just not in tune with what the Lord wants to do in our lives because we're seeing with our own desires and our own intentions. We're seeing with our own will to be done. Whether we say that or not, our actions speak louder than our words. We say, Lord, your will be done, your will be done. But we continue to move in our own will and our own actions. And Jeremiah said, look, this is what I see. And the Lord said, yes, you did see correctly. Now I'm going to test you again. What do you see? He said, I see a boiling pot. And that was the second part of it, saying, yes, you see her correctly again, because I'm about to bring judgment on this house, upon this nation. And it's going to be a difficult time, but I am going to bring about redemption. And so we have to remember that our tests that we are going through are important, that we respond to them correctly, so that we know that we're moving in what God is wanting to do and not in our own strength and our own power. And I think, if I'm being honest, I've lived around the world and I've seen the church in action in different ways. And if I'm being honest, we are living in a time where the church in America needs to see correctly what God is doing. I don't know if you're with me on the same page with that or not, but we need to hear the voice of the Lord clearly and see what he is doing, see what God is about to do, because he's going to have to bring this nation through a time of repentance, and that it's going to start in the house, his church. I think for too long, and this is my soapbox here, but I think for too long we've been trying to do it all in our own power and our own strength. We're looking for the next best skinny jean preacher or whatever to come up and give us this great message, this great grace message or whatever. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. It is only by grace that we have been saved. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says. It is by grace that you have been saved and not of your works, so that any man can boast, right? It's only by what Jesus has done. He has paid the price. It is by his grace. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is a whole other snippet of a sermon and a whole other message, but that grace does not give us the ability to do and live however we want to live. Do you hear what I'm saying? That grace is perfect, and it gives us the power to live the life that God has called us to live. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do." Amen. We have a job, we have a task at hand, and we've got to see right, we've got to hear right, we've got to hear correctly. And you know what? We get to be a part of the kingdom of God. Isn't that cool? We get to be a part of something that's greater than just our little world, our what we see in front of us. We get to be a part of something greater. and you say, well, God hasn't called me to be a prophet. God hasn't called me to such a great task. But I want to encourage you today, whatever that task is, whether it's raising your family, whether it's being a witness in your workplace, whether it's going to your school and having to be a light in a dark place like that, your task is no less important than calling a whole nation to repentance like Jeremiah. But your faithfulness is what speaks volumes. You see, God's power, and you mentioned it this morning, one of you guys mentioned it this morning, God's power working through obedience brings fulfillment to the purpose he's called us to. It has nothing to do with your talents, your giftings, or your shortcomings. It has to do with you saying yes and saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you've called me to do. He's the one who qualifies us and makes us holy for the task ahead. He gives us the words to say, just like he did to Jeremiah. And so this morning, I just want to ask you, just if Pastor Aaron, I don't know who y'all usually have come, but look, I'm on way good time here, man. But I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron or to just play something appropriate. And would you just stand with me this morning? We read that Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 again. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not about how religious you are. It's not even about how often you come to church or don't come to church. It's important to come to church, don't get me wrong. It's important to be a part of the kingdom of God, but that's not what's going to save you. What you're saved by is what Jesus did for you. He gave his life for you, and he paid for all the sins you've ever committed and ever will commit. But you just got to put those things back at the foot of the cross and accept that grace. But it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Isn't that interesting? We're not saved by our works, but we are saved to do good works. Another version says, you have been saved and created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance that you should walk in them. What are we walking in today? That would be my question to you. What are you walking in your life? Have you come to a place in your life you're saying, man, I'm just ready to check out. I'm ready for Jesus to come home or for him to take me home, one or the other. That way I can be out of this misery. Maybe you're at that point and you're just saying, man, I'm just done. I've been there. That happens to me sometimes multiple times a day, especially in ministry. It's tough because here's the thing. We're not fighting a spiritual or a physical battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We really are fighting a spiritual battle. The enemy wants to destroy the works that God has done in your life because he's scared. He knows he's already lost. And so he's going to keep attacking you. He's going to get in your mind. He's going to get in your heart. He's going to get in your soul. He's going to wreak havoc on those things if you're not listening to God. You're more in tune to the world than you are to God. What's going to happen? You're going to be worldly. And that's why our church is full of worldly Christians today. God has called us to be a holy people, set apart for his work. So wherever you're at in your life this morning, be reminded that God wants to use you. He's already prepared the works for you to do. And I would hate for you to pray for a missionary and support them and send them all across the world to see people come to know Jesus, to save the brokenhearted and set captives free when you're not willing to do it right here in your own place. What a travesty. You've got the hope of the living God living inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. And he's going to be the one who gives you the words to say to the lost and broken hearted. Right here in Anniston, right here in Alexandria, right here in this whole Oxford, in this whole community, there are, how many of you, I want you to tell me, be honest, how many broken people do you know around you? All around us. So much opportunity for God to work, for God to do something. All we have to do is say, Lord, here we are. Yes. Humble yourself. And so if that's you this morning, and maybe if you need to surrender your life to Jesus, and you just say, man, I'm just not where I need to be, do that this morning. Call on him because he's near. Let's just bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the calling that we get to experience. We get to be a part of your kingdom. And it's so wonderful to see how you worked in Jeremiah's life, even though he didn't feel worthy, he didn't feel capable. You said, no, you're the exact person that I want to use. And Lord, you know each and every heart here today, Lord. You know the thoughts of each and every one of us. And we just need you to reach down from heaven today, Lord, and touch our mouth and help us to begin to speak the things of God and not the things of the world. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you and empty ourselves of the things of the world. Bend our ear towards you, away from the world and towards you, and allow you to deposit in us the good things, the things of heaven, the things of salvation. And Lord, today I declare that salvation will be proclaimed from this church, not just around the world, but Lord, right here in Anniston. I declare that salvation will come to our neighbors here. I declare, Lord, that salvation will come to this community. I declare that the light and the hope of the world will be proclaimed, even from the rooftops here, God, and that people will see that something is happening in this church, that something is happening in this community. Lord, I pray for a great awakening in this place, in this church, in this nation, in this city. God, we need an awakening. We need a revival, Lord. We need your spirit to move upon us, Lord. And I pray that it will start right here in Anniston at Calvary Temple. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, your will be done. I don't know if... I know we're living in a different time nowadays. But I just want to just take a few minutes to open these altars up. And if you feel like you need to just work something out with the Lord, that's what we're here for today. You didn't just come here to fill time. Maybe you did. You didn't just come here to hear a missionary. You've come here to meet the living God. You've come here to meet Jesus. And the Holy Spirit may be drawing you this morning. If that's you, if you just feel like, man, I just need a touch from the Lord. I just need to hit these altars this morning and surrender something to God so that you can humble yourself and get yourself to seeing what he is seeing and hearing what he is hearing right now. Don't wait till next week or don't wait till tomorrow. We know that there's too many distractions. Right now is the time. So if the Lord has spoken to you this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed right now, if God is dealing with you right now, I want you to raise your hand and ask. I just want you to raise your hand. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Is the Lord dealing with you this morning? And just take a few minutes, Holy Spirit, just speak clearly, Lord. We need you. do need you to touch us, Lord. We need your hand to touch our lips, our mouths, our hearts, our minds. And Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who have indicated this morning that they want to get things right, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will just touch them, Lord, right where they are. And God, let this be something that starts in them today, Lord, and will continue on throughout their life. And they will see the hand, they will see your hand working in their life every step of the way, Lord. And we give you the praise for that. Let me ask you, do you want God to use you? Do you want to do more for his kingdom, even right here in this church? Just raise your hand right now. I see your hands. I see hands all over this place. Thank you. Thank you for what you are willing to do and say, yes, Lord, yes. I want to be used of you. I want to be used in this church. I want to be used in my community. If that's you, raise your hand and keep your hands up for a few minutes. And just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I might have missed it, Lord, but I humble myself before you right now, God of heaven. And I say, Lord, touch my lips and give me the words to say to my family, to my community. Give me the words to say to those who are lost and broken around me. Lord, I want to be used of you to do the works that you've called me to do, to do the works that you've created for me. Me. You created these works for me to do. Because you love me and you love this world so desperately, Lord. You love this world so intently and so passionately. And so, Lord, here I am. I lift my hands to you and I surrender to you. And I ask you to just use me and have your way. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise this morning. Give God a hand for what he's doing. Man, it's just such a pleasure to be with you all this morning. Pastor Aaron, thank you for the opportunity. Pastor Amy, thank you for the opportunity. We love you guys. We thank you for your prayers and your support for us. We're going to be praying for you that God will bring a revival like never before. Amen. Do y'all want revival? Y'all want an awakening in this place? Give God the glory. Declare it. Declare salvation to your neighbors. Speak the name of Jesus over the things of this world. Amen. Speak the name of Jesus and don't be afraid. God's with you. Be bold. He is with you. Amen. He is for you. And if he is for you, the Bible says, who could be against you? Not even death can stop you. Amen. Praise him. Praise him. Lord, we just give you praise and glory again this morning. And we just surrender this day to you. Be with our friends and our families and all these folks as they go on their business today, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just use them for your glory. And I pray that revival will come to Anniston, Alabama, Lord. And that you will use these pastors and this congregation to be a light in this community like never before. Not wanting the things of the old, but wanting something new. Wanting what you are doing right now in this time, God, for this day. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, we pray, be upon us. Anoint us to preach good news to those who are poor and broken in spirit. And just like Jesus, you said that we would do greater things than what you were doing in those days that you were walking the earth. I pray that you would fill us, baptize us fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, and use us to not just do miracles and signs and wonders, which are great and important, but to proclaim salvation to those who are lost and broken and hurting. Bring healing, Lord, to them. And we give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.